Great Commission vaccine. That's what we've done. That's been the prayer. That's more like drugs, isn't it? Whatever we got to do, whatever to get us out there. But as a church, that's what we want to do. We want to be ministering right here. We want to minister our community right here. We want to minister in the reaches out. We want to go to the uttermost parts of the world. We want to be a part of that and seeing people come to faith in that. Amen? That's what God's told us to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. We're representatives for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you in Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That's the message. We go out of here, we need to be sharing the gospel. We go out of here, we need to be telling people about the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus, sharing the good news. Tell them. It's amazing. There are still people, and there's more and more people in America today that have never heard. You'd think that wouldn't be the case. You would think America, but you know there are countries that send missionaries to America now? Because we're not a Christian nation anymore. People don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. That might be the only thing Obama ever said that was true. We really are kind of a post-Christian nation. We have so many that are turning away. Now, we're founded on Christian principles. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying here. But what I'm saying is you just look at what's going on around us. There are people who've never heard the name of Jesus. They have been indoctrinated and lied to. They're listening to the wrong voices. They don't know. Go tell them. Tell them. If they don't hear it, how can they respond to something they've never heard? So we have fear. That's what we're to do. We're to be witnesses. We're to go and pull people out of hell and to share the gospel. It's not my job to save them, but it is my job absolutely to tell them. It's your job to tell them. So we've got this fear. You know, it's fear of the unknown, right? You know, what do I do? Where do I go? How will I live? It's this fear of responding to what God tells us to do. And I think some people are afraid the Lord might send them to a far country. I've not seen a missionary yet that was, they had to bound in a straitjacket and drag them on a plane to go to the foreign field. If God wants you in another country, He'll give you a desire to be there long before He puts you there. And you'll want to go. I shared the story, a friend of mine was going to Argentina. I had just met him, big family. They were going to go to Argentina, had been training. He was real close. And we were sitting at lunch one day and I asked him, I said, how does it feel to know you're going to be leaving home? He said, well, we don't see it that way. He said, I don't feel like we're leaving home. We feel like we're finally getting to go home. God's called us to Argentina. And so they were excited about getting, I got to drive them to the airport. I loved hanging out with missionaries. For the 25 years, I've loved hanging out with missionaries. Nobody wanted to get up at 4 in the morning and drive the bus to take somebody to the airport. I was always like, absolutely, I will. I want to be around people that are doing that. That have a desire to do it. I loved it. Take them to the airport. And then coming home, I was like, why did I agree to do this? But digress. But, you know, we're fearful of if God calls me, you know, what will I do or whatever. So there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns. If you're going to surrender to what God wants you to do, if you just say, Lord, use me. How many of you like being used? I'm going to tell you, I don't like to be used by people. Anybody like to be used by people? We don't like to be used by people. I tell you what I do want to do. I want to be used by God. I want Him to use me. But if you do that, if you surrender to that, there's a lot of unknowns. There are a lot of uncertainties. We want to know. Here's what we want to know, right? And this is what we go. If you get a job offer, right, here's what you start thinking. Well, you know, what if I get there and I don't like the job? What if I get there and there's people I don't work well with? What if I get there and then I get fired? What if the company closes? There's all the what ifs, right? We run through all the what ifs. And here's really what we want to know. What we want to know, Rob, you probably had to work through all this in that transition. You got to work through all this stuff of going, this is what I really want to know. I want to know it's all going to be okay. Isn't that what we want to know? We want to know it's all going to be okay. Lord, if I just surrender to this and I just say I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, I just want to know that it's all okay. How can I know it's all going to be okay? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Moses had some fear. Moses had some fear. Chapter 3, if we look at verses 1 through 6, God appears to Moses in the burning bush. Let's read that. Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. It's funny when you hear people trying to explain that away. And what was that? You know, this is this kind of bush, and the sunlight was glistening off the leaves. No. You know what that was? That was a bush that was on fire that wasn't consumed. That's exactly what that was. It was a real bush in front of a real man called Moses that was really on fire, and it really wasn't consumed. It's amazing. This is true. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. No, he didn't. He said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so then we see in verse 7 through 9, we see what God tells. He tells Moses here what he's going to do. Moses is like, I mean, he's in shock. He's seen a burning bush. He turns to the bush, and then God speaks to him, take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. I don't know how he's still on his feet. I'd have been like on my face, but he's there. And God is talking to him. So he is in sensory overload right now. I mean, all this is going on. Now God is going to speak to him and tells him what he's about to do. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Termites. And so go back and see. So verse 8, at the top of verse 8. So I have come down... to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. What's God going to do? He's going to deliver the Jewish people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He's going to bring them out. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, at this point, Moses, he doesn't question this at all. Right? He's hearing this. He's got to be thinking, this is a good thing. This is amazing. This needs to be done. Yes! I love it, God. Great plan. This is awesome. I'm so glad that you would include me in this. I get to hear, it's kind of like I felt like with this pastor's conference. Pastor Eric Stitz did an incredible job. I was the second vice president. You know what that means? It means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It means I got to be down there and involved with all that and see behind the scenes, but I didn't have to do a thing. I went on the stage and prayed in front of this huge church. I prayed to open the second service. Huge church, all these people. They're still at lunch. I opened in prayer. There's 35 people in the room, I think. out of like 1,000, there's 35 back for lunch. So that was the extent of my responsibilities. But I felt like, man, I'm included in this. Moses got to be feeling that way right now. He's like, man, God, this is incredible. This is so awesome. Thank you for letting me hear this. Look at what happens then in verse 10. God calls Moses to service. He says, come now. He's talking to Moses. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so he's right in the midst of, amen! Wait, what? What? Hey, come here. I know I didn't hear that right, Lord. What'd you just say? I got the first part. You're going to pull the children of Israel out of Egypt. I got that. What was that other part? I know I didn't hear that right. He says, no. You come on. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to bring my children out. You're going to bring them out. Me? No. Instant, you can see it. So Moses, here's what's interesting. Moses had the same call then that we have today. Moses has a call to go bring God's people out of Egypt. You know, we have a call today to go and win the lost and bring them out of a life of sin. That's the call we have. Moses had fear. We have fear. We battle fear. And so there's different types of fear, and let's look at these real quick. Number one, there's a fear that we get from insecurity. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I can't do this. Now, you know, you could read that and go, is he really humble at this point? Is that false humility or is it insecurity? I'm going to tell you what I read in that. I see insecurity. I see Moses going, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. And sometimes it's a fear that comes from that insecurity. You know, Moses once was cocky and brash, almost arrogant. Now he's humble, or insecure. It may be some of both. It may be that he's humble, but he may be insecure as well. But oftentimes for us, that's exactly what we're struggling with. We're insecure. I couldn't do that. Surely God couldn't use me to do that. I hear people sing. I'll hear them behind me. I'll be, wow, man, who is that singing? That's incredible. Oh, no, I could never get on the stage and sing. I could never do that. You know why a lot of people won't get up here? You know why people won't get up here? You know why we don't do that? Because we're afraid. We're afraid that somebody might not think it was great. And we're insecure and we're afraid. But you know what that is? I got some folks don't like when I say this. You know what that is? It's pride. All insecurity is pride. It's masked. And insecure people don't like me saying that because they don't want to acknowledge the fact that it's pride. It is. Because if I get up here and I stumble or I misalign, whatever it is, and you laugh at me or I get embarrassed and I think it wasn't that good or whatever, then that's hurt my pride. Folks, as believers, we shouldn't have any pride. We shouldn't be worried about those things. You know, I learned a long time ago, you know, I've shared this pretty open. I'm an insecure person. I'm an insecure speaker, but I learned this a long time ago. If I was going to let that hinder me, I would never be doing what God wanted me to do, because I can say some of the dumbest things. I affectionately call myself Captain Obvious sometimes, because the things I say are, wow, that's great, Captain Obvious. You know, it's that. You can't let that insecurity keep you from doing what it is God wants you to do. I remember when I was in college, and I got asked to do help with VBS, and I had to do a thing called, it was Wrong Way Robot. They dressed me up. I mean, it's in the middle of summer, and I got on a hoodie under this box, all this stuff. I'm a robot. And I was so embarrassed, you know, like, I'm going to mess this up and whatever. I didn't know who I was, so what was I even worried about it? It's amazing. You got to put that aside. You got to quit worrying about it. You got to put aside those insecurities and quit letting that keep you from doing what it is that God wants you to do. God says, he says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who are you? You're the one God said do. He said for you to go. So if he tells you to go, we ought to be willing to go, whatever. What can I do? You know, why would the Lord want me to go? You know, I think the great thing is Moses went from being all cocky and all to now he's God, really, could God use me? Why would you want to use me? Boy, there's something to work with there. But you got to get past insecurity. You got to let the fear, your insecurities that drive fear, you got to quit letting that hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. There's also a fear of rejection. Anybody ever had a fear of rejection? Fear of being rejected? You know, again, all of this comes back to insecurities, comes back to pride even maybe. But there's this fear that I won't be received. People won't receive what it is I'm offering. We're so worried, you know, if you're doing sales, right? They tell you if you got to knock on 10 doors to get a sale, right? You got to knock on 10 doors. But we feel like if we do that, they're rejecting me. If I'm sharing the gospel, they're rejecting me. Number one, they're not rejecting you. If you're sharing the gospel, they're rejecting Christ. They're not rejecting you. It's not about you. It's about him. But we have this fear of being rejected. So then Moses says, verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? He's like, what am I going to say when they start questioning me about who sent me? When I say God sent me, and they go, well, what's his name? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's what you tell them. You tell them. Don't you worry about it. Don't have a fear of them rejecting you, not receiving you. If they reject, it's me. But you tell them this. You tell them this is the name you give them. He was afraid that the children of Israel would not accept him. We're afraid no one will accept us. When we go for the Lord, we don't need to worry about being accepted. We need to just go in his name, not in our name. Don't go in your name. When we go, when we serve, when we minister in his name, not in our name. And then we don't have to worry about rejection. Now go over to chapter 4 and look. You can read through the rest of chapter 3 there. There's a lot in that. God goes into a lot more detail about what he's going to do when he's down there. But jump over to chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 4-9. He says, who will believe? It's kind of this mindset of who's going to believe this. So then verse 1 says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say. So he's given all these hypotheses. Isn't that what we do? God says, go do something. We go, why would you call me to do that? I can't do that. I'm so insecure. I can't do that. Well, they won't accept me, God. God says exactly what he's going to do. I'm going to send you. This is what's going to happen. And then he goes, but Lord, what if they do that? Aren't we good with the what ifs? But what if? What if? What if? We got to quit with the what ifs. But suppose. We got to quit with the but supposes and the what ifs. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. That's what he said. You're gonna throw the rod down. It's gonna become a serpent. You grab it by the tail. It's gonna become a rod again. You're gonna show this sign to them. Verse 6. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, the hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. Then verse 9, and it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that they shall take water from the river, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. He wasn't doing some magic trick where the water just turned red. This was if God said it would turn to blood, then he poured out blood on the ground. And so it wasn't some trick. So there's the rod, there's the leprous hand, there's the water of turned to blood. So here's the thing for us. God will work through you. Hear this. God will work through you so that they will see him. We're worried about them, about our own credibility sometimes. You know, we don't have to worry about my credibility. I just need to go in obedience. The Holy Spirit of God will work in me and work through me, and he will work through me so that they will see him. That's the purpose. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. I can't believe that. That's just something about us as believers ought to do good works. We don't have to do any good works. That doesn't give us any righteousness. No, folks, it doesn't. But if you're a believer, we are to do good works. If you're truly born again, you are to be out serving God. And as we do that, as we let our light shine, we're like the moon, though, right? I don't have a light in me. I don't have a light to shine. The only light in me is Christ, and I'm really reflecting the light of Christ. And so others, as they see the things I do, what they're seeing is Christ in me. Anything good is Christ in me. When you see me, it's not good. When I come out, it ain't good. There's a lot of junk in there. You get squeezed and the junk comes out, right? When you see good, when there's good that comes from it, that's God working through me. It's God working out. And so you let your light shine. You let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. As you do what God calls you to do, they'll see God. It's going to point. Your life will point to Him. Your life will give glory to Him. It'll bring glory to Him. Number three, there's a fear of failure. Many have this fear of failure. Well, if I do it, I just won't be able to do it well. I won't make it. I don't want to tell something that's not true. I don't ever want to tell something that's not true. I think when I first came down here, I really didn't know if y'all would keep me longer than 3 months. I was really like, why would they, they heard me preach, Gina, twice. Why would they want me to come be the pastor? They don't know what they're getting. And I really had a fear. I think I had a fear. I wasn't about to sell the house, move down here, move to Geneva, and 3 months later, I'm selling the house again. Now, and I'm not saying that facetiously or trying to be funny. I think there was a little fear that, you know, I'd never been a senior pastor. I may come down here and absolutely fall on my face and be an absolute failure. We have that fear. But you got to, if God calls you to it and He tells you to go do it, you go do it. We have a fear of embarrassment. That maybe I'm not going to, maybe I won't measure up. Maybe I won't be able to perform the way I need to or the way they want me to. There's this fear of failure, fear of embarrassment. And look what Moses, he said, who will speak? Verse 10, in chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What Moses was saying was, look, you want me to go and speak for you? I'm not a speaker. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I know exactly what he means. I've been called on to pray in church services before years ago. And I went up and I had to hold the podium because everything went white. I was so scared, I almost hyperventilated. To the point of like going out. I get it when people and these things happen. So you get really, really nervous. Those things can happen. There's that fear of that. And that's a fear I had. I'm like, I'm afraid. I was always afraid I'm going to get up there and my brain is going to stop working. And I'm not going to know what to say. I'm not going to be able to get anything out. You ever seen that happen? You ever had that happen? It's scary. There is a fear of failure. So I'm not eloquent. I think we got a video that kind of illustrates this a little bit.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South.
That kind of reminds me of Trump going, well, I don't know what he just said, and I don't think he does either. That's what it reminds me of a little bit. But I feel for her. And we can look at that and laugh a little bit. But I feel for her because I have felt that way. When I was a senior in high school and I had to give a speech, we had to give a speech in our government class. And I did a speech on the Star Wars Strategic Defense Initiative. I mean, remember that with the Star Wars program with Ronald Reagan's thing. And I did a report on that. I imagined in my head that's what I sounded like. I don't know what I sound like because I got up, I got done, and then I don't know, I don't remember anything from the 5 minutes or so that I was up. I don't remember it. But that's how Moses had to feel like that's the way I'm going to be. That's the way I'm going to sound. That's what's going to happen. We have to be careful with that. Verse 11 then says, so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Who made your mouth, Moses? I did. The Lord God made your mouth. You know what? If I made your mouth and I'm sending you, then I can go with your mouth. I can help your mouth. It's not about me. You know, I'm not able. And Moses was kind of like, I'm slow of speech. I can't do this. You know what? You're right. But God can. And you go, I can't do this. What you're asking me to do, I can't do. What you're wanting me to do, I can't do it. No, maybe you can't, but God can. And if He's called you to it, He's going to equip you to do it. Number four, fear of commitment. Some of you said that. Or a fear of responsibility. Look, I think it's a legitimate thing. I think people are afraid. Sometimes it's a fear. Sometimes just a fear of it. Sometimes it's just selfishness because I don't want to commit to that because something better may come along. I had a really good friend in high school. He found out afterwards, you know, as we got out of high school and stuff, I realized I was a much better friend to him than he was to me. Because as we went through high school, we'd have plans. We'd have things. We were planning we're going to hang out today or whatever. And I'd get the short end of the stick if something better came along. Then I was the one that was left out. It's like, man, I'm not going to be able to get together. And I found out later on there was a lot of times where he just had something better. So I got plans until something better comes along. And so there's a fear sometimes. People don't want to make a commitment because, you know what, it might affect this. It might affect me doing this or doing this or doing that if I'm committed to that. I don't want to lock in. I don't want to lock in because something better may come along. Got to make sure I'm free from my options. Got to have my options there. That's a legitimate fear that people have. But I do think a lot of that's driven by selfishness. Exodus 4:13, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. He said, surely someone else would be a better fit. Surely there's someone else out there, God, that you can send. Surely you can send someone better than me. That's kind of Moses' remark. He was scared of the commitment. Because once he's in it, he's in it. When he starts to go, he's in it. There was a fear of committing to that. And man, we face that. So remember what God said back in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. I will be with you. You're not going alone. That's a great promise. Amen. It's what this is what God is telling Moses. Back in chapter 3, verse 12. You can go back there. I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. This will be a sign to you that I have sent you. That word sign is the word, it's really the word token. There's a token here. It's a signal. It's a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, a prodigy. It's evidence. Here's the proof. Here's the evidence, Moses. This is the sign to you that I have sent you. Here's the sign. He says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, you got to hear what he said. He said, this is a when, and then you will. When, Moses, when you have brought the people out of Egypt. He didn't say if you bring the children of the people out of Egypt. He didn't say if that happens. He says, Moses, when you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall. Does that sound like a question mark? Does that sound like a maybe? You might. If you bring them out, you might get to worship on this mountain, Moses. It's not at all what he says. He says, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is a promise from God. This is a promise to Moses. I'm going to send you. I'm going with you. I'm going to work in it. I'm going to bring them out. And when you bring them out and you've brought the children out of Egypt, you're going to serve me right back here on this very mountain. You're coming back here victorious. So he promised that you will get through this. You will lead them out, and you will stand here again, and you'll serve me on this mountain. And God has a plan for our lives. Amen? Amen. He has a plan. Yet we fear the work of God in our lives. Where will I go? What will I do? What's He going to ask me to do? How am I going to commit? We fear stepping out to serve the Lord in ministry. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." We, like Moses, we have fear. Who am I that I should go? I don't know enough. I don't know enough. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough education. I'm not smart enough. I just don't know enough. They won't listen to me. I don't have any influence. Who am I? They're not going to listen. I'm a poor speaker. I'm not good with my mouth. I can't do these things. I'm not talented. You know, I can't sing like Miss Debbie, so I just can't do that. I don't know that I could do that. Tim can get up there and sing, but I couldn't do that. I just can't. And you know, somebody else would be better. Somebody else would be better. But like Moses, God has given us a token. He says in Hebrews 13:5, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Whatever He calls us to do, wherever He sends us to go, whatever it is He's asking us to do for Him, He's going with us. He's going to work in us. He's going to work through us. But here's a great promise He gives us in John 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, the Lord's been preparing a place for a while now. Amen? 2,000 years, the Lord's been preparing a place for us, for His children. And He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, if I'm doing that, and I just told you I'm going to do that, that's what I'm doing, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, whatever God calls us to do, I know it's all going to be okay, because I already know the end of the story. I'm going to be with Him. If I go to Tanzania and they cut my head off in service to God, it's all going to be okay, because I'm going to be with the Lord. If I serve faithfully for the next, if I can serve another, how old am I? If I can get another 20 years in, that sounds crazy at my age. But I don't plan to quit. If I go to 77, if I can hit 80, John Reynolds is still preaching at 84, 3, 4. He's still going strong. I want to be like that. Whatever God's plan is, whatever His plan is, I want to go, because He's promised to go with me. He's promised to work in me. He's promised to work through me. He's promised to bring me back. We know where we're going to be. We're going to be with Him. Amen? How can I know it's all going to work out good? It's going to work out because He's already told us how it works out. We're going to be with Him. We know we're going to be with Him then. So here's what we do. We walk with Him today. We work for Him today. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You for our time together tonight. Lord, there may be even some in this room tonight that are battling, they're dealing with a calling in their life, what You have called them to do, a burden maybe You put, and maybe they push that aside. Maybe they're resisting it out of fear. I pray, God, that we would not in this